To refuse to submit to the Lordship of Christ is to rebel against God and to grieve the Holy Spirit. No one can live in peace while he resists the Spirit of God. Here is an excellent principle by which we may guide our Christian conduct. Let your lips and lives express the holy gospel you profess. That's a very lovely way someone has chosen to say, be what you have become. Make your actions agree with your character. It is that principle which is expressed in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes that section of the epistle to tell Christians in Philippi how they can enjoy God's peace in daily life. He has spoken of the peace of God which passes all understanding as guarding their hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. And now he writes, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Please do not misunderstand the spirit of the great apostle. He did not mean to set himself up as a boastful example to the Christian converts. Remember that they did not have New Testament scriptures at the time he wrote these words. Many believers, new converts in Philippi, would wonder how to behave in this situation or that situation. Paul said, I've been a believer for a long time. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Model your way of living after me. Now, when you live that kind of life, God will manifest himself as your life, as the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. He will be with you personally and perpetually. Well, the Christian must discipline his actions if he would live in peace today. Every man has in himself a God-given conscience which approves right and condemns wrong, and his conscience will accuse or excuse him according to the manner of his conduct. No one can live in peace when suffering the accusation of a guilty conscience, so right living is essential to peace of conscience. Therefore, discipline your actions. But how? You can discipline your actions by following the example of mature Christians. That admonition follows the practice accepted in all of life. Let's say a young man serves as apprentice to a carpenter, and he must work for a certain time before he is recognized as a skilled carpenter who can work alone. A graduate of medical school must serve a time as an intern under the supervision of other physicians before he's certified to practice medicine. It's not surprising, therefore, that an immature Christian is instructed to follow the example and lifestyle of those more mature than he. Philippians 3:17 reads, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Hebrews 6:11 and 12 reads, Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Do not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, the very word commonly used to describe believers, Christians, in the New Testament is the term disciple. A disciple is a student, a learner, a follower after a teacher. You can have no higher business in life than to be disciplined by a more mature Christian and to disciple one less mature than yourself. Every person needs help. God has made Christians interdependent to one another, just as members of the physical body are dependent on one another. There are people who need you, and there are people you need. Your life will be blessed and your peace will be increased as you share it with other people. Every Christian must discipline himself to follow the example of those more mature than he. So I'd suggest discipline your actions by living according to the principles that are taught in Holy Scripture. Life operates according to specific laws, as you know. There are laws of nature. There are laws of physical health. There are laws of nations. And in the spiritual realm, there are laws which govern there. Now, who makes the laws which govern the spiritual realm? Well, there are several sources to which one may look. Some people are a law to themselves, holding that the right thing is simply their own opinion or their own preferences. There are some people who look to their church or denomination to tell them what to believe or how to behave. Some people deny that there's any laws at all which govern the spiritual life of man. But multitudes of people believe the Bible is the guidebook for human living, having complete authority in all matters of faith and practice, because it has been given by the God who is the supreme ruler over all persons and things. I believe the Bible to be the complete and perfect revelation of the principles which govern God's relationship to man and man's relationship to God and man. In all matters of doctrine and practice, we must follow the principle of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That means every person must live according to Bible principles if he would live in peace. No person can break the moral and spiritual principles of God without suffering sin and guilt as a result. That constitutes him a sinner, a wicked person in rebellion against God. And the Bible says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If you would know peace, then discipline your actions by yielding to the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Be followers of God as dear children, which means you will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, to refuse to submit to the Lordship of Christ, as manifested by the leading of the Holy Spirit, is to rebel against God and to grieve the Holy Spirit. No one can live in peace while he resists, quenches, and grieves the Spirit of God. As Ephesians 4:3 says, the unity of the Spirit is the bond of peace. The Spirit convicts the erring person of the sinfulness of the way and of the guilt that he's bearing. And there can be no peace until that guilty one turns in repentance and receives forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit is permitted free rein in his heart. No person can be happy when the Lord God is grieved because of sin in that person's life. And that's why the Bible admonishes, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so we come to the conclusion of our study of the steps that lead to peace. On the basis of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, we have seen five God-given guidelines to lead us in the path of peace. Verses 4 and 5 teach, sanctify your joy by rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 6 teaches, encourage your confidence by trusting instead of worrying. Verse 6 further teaches, engage in prayer by talking to God about everything that is of concern to you. Verse 8 teaches, control your thoughts by refusing to think on evil and concentrating on good things. And verse 9 teaches, discipline your actions by following the example of mature Christians who are living by Bible principles as taught by the Holy Spirit. Now the world is offering many things as substitutes for peace, but not one of them, and not all of them, will satisfy. God has made man for himself, and man will find peace only as he finds it in a true and personal relationship with God. Job 22:21 gives the admonition, acquaint now yourself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto you. Our Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you want us to be free from anxieties and worries and guilt and the problems that take away our peace. And so now, we do trust you, and we commit our lives into your hands. And we surrender to you our worries, and we receive from you the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it in his great name. Amen.